So I, too, have nothing to disclose. I have no relationships, financial interests, and so forth. So really what we're going to just cover in the next... Oops. Hello? Is that better? Okay. I'll stand back here. So just briefly the outline of what we're going to talk about today. The study background, the approach, next steps, and some concluding points and some concluding thoughts. Okay? So the introduction. So the associations between the food and physical activity environments and weight status among youth have mostly been examined in cross-sectional analyses. And longitudinal studies are needed to assess the effects of environmental factors on childhood obesity. So the presentation will describe the process of developing a comprehensive protocol for documenting changes in the food and physical activity environment over the course of a longitudinal study, specifically 5 years, but I'll talk about that. And the longitudinal study is examining the impact of changes in the food and physical activity environments on youth weight status. So the New Jersey Child Health Study, it's a longitudinal study funded by NIH and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and it's conducted in low-income and high-minority cities in New Jersey. Specifically, it's Newark, New Brunswick, Trenton, Camden, and Vineland. Some folks have probably heard about the other cities. Vineland is down in South Jersey. And it's building on a recently completed New Jersey Childhood Obesity Study, which took place between 2008 and 2010. And so what the Childhood Obesity Study did was provide the baseline data regarding youth weight status for the current study, as well as geospatial locations for the food and physical activity outlets based on commercial data and calculated proximity to the residential outlets. So when the program announcement came out for the current study that we're working on, it looked for the evaluation of obesity-related natural experiments. So having this baseline data, coupled with the knowledge that the principal investigators had regarding many different initiatives that were going on in New Jersey, so the Partnership for Healthy Kids, some folks may have heard of that one, the Community Transformation Grants, Campbell Soup has a $10 million over 10-year initiative to reduce childhood obesity in New Jersey, as well as the Affordable Care Act. So in order for hospitals to maintain their nonprofit status, they have to do the needs assessment as well, the community health needs assessment, as well as CHIP, the Community Health Improvement Plan, not to be confused with the insurance plan. And a lot of these plans related to the hospital, some of them do touch on the physical activity environment as well as the food environment to reduce childhood obesity. So there are a lot of different initiatives going on in New Jersey related to childhood obesity reduction. So having the baseline data and the knowledge of these particular programs, it created the space for this project to happen. So in the previous study for 2008-2010, the Childhood Obesity Study, they followed a panel of children to document changes in the weight status. The current study is following those children as well, and we're tracking intended changes as well as unintended changes in the food and physical activity environments. So with all of those changes and different initiatives going on in New Jersey, just to be crystal clear, it's not an evaluation of any of those projects. What we're doing is monitoring changes in the food and physical activity environments over time. So how are we doing that? We're using commercial databases such as InfoUSA. We're surveying schools. We just launched in two different school districts, we launched surveys. And my talk is going to focus on the last piece. It's capturing changes and upgrades on the ground. So it's the finer level of detail that the other two don't otherwise capture. Okay? So how are we capturing and documenting changes in the food and physical activity environments? And we're creating a protocol to document those changes over time in five cities. So how did we start doing this? So we conducted a literature search and literature review to narrow down the domains of interest, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in next couple of slides about what the domains of interest are. But aside from the literature, we looked at the IOM reports, we looked at the CDC reports, as well as the Healthy Kids, Healthy Communities work that the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation did. When I started this project, this second bullet is what I focused on quite a bit. It's creating a contact grid of people and organizations making changes in each of those domains. So you kind of have go-to sources of information. And develop and nurture relationships, attend meetings, get involved in organizational efforts, as well as a resource. So the different folks that are involved in making changes in the food and the physical activity environments, they're not necessarily traditional public health partners, if you will. And actually, just to be clear, they're not partners, they are sources of information. So this project is drawing from many streams of data to inform our outcomes. So other ways to get a general sense of what was going on in each of the communities: reviewing news, Facebook posts, social media, a lot of people post a lot of different things online. Submit Open Public Records Act requests. Depending on the data, you may or may not have to do this, but I'll just give one quick example. So the folks who oversee WIC in New Jersey, one thing that we were interested in looking at was collecting data on the different locations of the WIC certified stores. So I wrote them an email and told them about the study, and I said, you know, might you be willing to share the locations of the WIC certified stores in these five particular communities? And they said sure, and they emailed it. And other folks are saying, no, you need to go through the Open Public Records Act requests. So research review data sources that already exist, such as the WIC. And then broadly document change, the types of changes, so the nature of the change, the description of the change, as well as the date and the location. Really, so what we were doing was trying to get a general sense of what was going on in all of these communities related to changes in the food environment and the physical activity environment. So the domains of interest, what we're looking to follow. Upgraded corner stores, grocery stores and supermarkets, farmers markets, community gardens, restaurants, healthy food offerings in public places, and public drinking water. And this is just a picture from Vineland, some of the changes. They were, this used to be a candy stand. So what the owner had decided to do during his healthy corner store work was to get rid of that and make this display. So when the kids come in, this is one of the first things that they see. So some of the examples of the food environment that we're looking at. So the corner stores, they have after school snack shelves. So the kids can kind of go in, grab something healthy, and go. Couponing for healthy items, signage to highlight healthier options, and enhance the removal of healthy offerings. So in the farmers markets, it's opening and closing of new stores, expanding and reduced hours, as well as change in acceptance of WIC and so forth. And again, this project is looking to capture changes that are both intended and unintended. So in the physical activity environment, we're looking to the domains of interest are the physical activity outlets, both public and private, sidewalks, elements of complete streets. The reason I say elements of complete streets is because the folks who are involved in it know that complete streets is not one uniform thing. So depending on the city, that might change a little. It can change from area to area and city to city. So that's why I say elements of complete streets: bike paths, trails, parks, crime and safety, public transportation and zoning. So in some of the examples of changes that we're looking at are new and enhanced closure playground equipment. And on the next slide, I'll talk just a little bit more detail about that. Bike lane open and closures, police substations, enhanced new enhanced closure community recreation spaces, Here, I just want to just talk just briefly about the presence of park programming. So the types of changes, we're looking for an actual change to the environment. So the types of programs, you know, like an educational initiative, those are absolutely very important. But for the purposes of this project, we're not tracking educational initiatives. However, so the presence of park programming, there's a specific example in one of the cities where kids wanted to go play and they couldn't because of some illegal activity that was going on. But what the YMCA did was come in and they created programming, which changed the environment to allow the kids to come play. So now, because the activity couldn't take place there, and now the space was open for kids to play, that's the kind of change that we were looking to capture. So that was the change to the park, not necessarily the programming, but it's just the actual presence of the programming there that allowed the kids to play. Okay. So here is just an example of a park that was built within the last year in Monument School in Trenton, New Jersey. Before this park was here, it was a broken blacktop. It really wasn't safe for the kids to play. And if you YouTube this, you'll see the video of the building of it. And it was work done and organized by the Partnership for Healthy Kids. And so now kids at the Monument School have this terrific place to play, only during school hours. Because there's no joint use agreement, that's another change that we're thinking about capturing. So now the kids can't play during after school hours because the joint use agreement is not necessarily in place. But it didn't stop the kids. This is a true story. They broke the lock 7 times to break in to play. Right. So here's just a visual about how we're collecting the information and how we're going to actually narrow down eventually what we want to collect. The top part is actually supposed to look kind of big and a little messy because there's a lot of different changes going on in corner stores, for example. So you have a lot of information and you're trying to narrow it down to see what are the large signals, what are we looking to track over time. So once we have a general sense of what the changes are, then we're going to review, create, and adapt data collection tools. We have an expert panel of folks both in the food and physical activity environment who are going to help us narrow down what the definition of change is. What is the nature of a significant change? Then once we get their input, we're going to revise the data collection instruments and then conduct the auditing. So here's just some pictures of the changes that are ongoing when we're trying to get a general sense of what was going on. So essentially the next steps are kind of what I talked about in the funnel graphic. It's reviewing the tools and then creating and adapting based on what we see is going on. The panel of experts, they're going to help us define what the threshold for change, what will make the difference in tracking over time. Refine the tools based on the feedback, and then conducting the ongoing audits. So I'm actually going to start at the bottom of this slide just for some concluding points. So what this project has allowed us to do was create an opportunity for collaboration among traditional and non-traditional public health partners. So, you know, folks like the Department of Engineering, they know a lot about public health, even though it's not necessarily a lot, you know, that you don't think of them as traditional public health partners and so on. So it creates an interesting space for collaboration. And the protocol actually, and also to tracking changes, a progression of ongoing prevention initiatives, as well as the consequences of intended and unintended changes. And then once completed, this protocol will be helpful to other communities for documenting relevant changes in the food and physical activity environments. And whenever I talk to different folks in, you know, different sectors, if it's the, you know, public sector, you know, like Department of Public Works or a nonprofit, academic units or so forth, everyone has said there's a lot of interesting information that you're going to be collecting, which will be helpful for us as well. So We think that the protocol moving forward, once it's completed, will help organize a lot of different changes that are going on over time and try to help narrow down and focus what some of the important signals are regarding tracking childhood obesity efforts. So just to close, our NIH and Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for funding this initiative. Thank you.
Questions?
Go ahead. That's later on. Okay. So, but the one thing I will say, but the study, one thing that's unique about it is that we're looking at both the physical activity and the food environment together. Okay. Anybody else?
My question is.
Oh,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Is there a food policy council in China that are interested in the same information, or are they
going to
work with
it? So there is the food policy council. So New Brunswick has a food policy council. The Green Team in in Trenton, they have a lot of initiatives going on as well. The Partnership for Healthy Kids is really active. So, and just to kind of highlight, each city is structured and has its own treasures and challenges. So if folks are thinking about doing this, it's navigating each of the treasures and the challenges of each of the infrastructures of the city. Okay, so an example of intended and unintended changes. So there are, because of the economic downturns, sometimes like some WIC certified stores have closed. You know, there's the funding has stopped for certain initiatives and projects that would otherwise create space for kids. So so that's one example. And then I'm sorry, the second question.
Oh, I was just wondering if you're planning on looking at the intended and unintended changes separately, or keeping track of whether
intended. So Poonam, do you want to take that one? Oh, yeah, so there was, I'm sorry, it was just, we are collecting data from schools, and so it was, but it was just, there was one piece, that there was only one, like, partial bullet. Yeah, so actually, we launched a survey in each of the school, we're looking to launch a survey in each of the school districts, and we collected data in two districts. So, and it's specific, you know, what are the food and physical activity, what does the food and physical activity environment look like? So, you know, how often do your kids have recess? Has there been a reduction in the number of minutes? What kind of food programs are, you know, are they involved in? So we are looking at that piece too. Yeah, so, but again, it's navigating the treasures and the challenges and the infrastructure of each of the cities. So, but we are. So thank you for highlighting that. And, go ahead.
So with all these changes that you're monitoring, the real sense is, you know, what is going to be the impact.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, you know, with all this noise of changes both ways and over, a relatively few years, mm-hmm. whether you'd be able to pick up signals of change in outcomes?
So that's the need for, one of the things is the need for longitudinal studies. So we're hoping, you know, that 5 years is long enough to see if those signals are loud enough during that duration. But having the panel of children from 2008, starting from 2008, 2010, that gives us a little bit more time. So we think that having the panel of children and then monitoring them for an additional 5 years, you know, it's a number of years to hopefully see if those signals are loud enough. So, and looking at the literature, when I first started on this project, I kept looking for, where is the project that really has done this before? And I kept looking in the literature, and so this is, it's new, so we have to start somewhere. So, go ahead. So the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation had funded the Center for State Health Policy to provide local data. So they recruited a panel of how many? 1,700 children, and then they did height and weight data as well as survey data with these children. So there are two pieces. So there were a panel of children that were weighed. But if you go to the Rutgers Center for State Health Policy website, there are chart books that specifically talk about these methods, because there's school level data regarding height and weight. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.